beg your pardon. Excuse me, madam.
Marcia.
Oh, pardon me, sir. This is the Stan Freberg Show, and I have to...
John!
Yes, you said that. I'm Stan Freberg.
Marcia.
I know you two people have a lot to say to each other, but I have to start my show.
Marcia.
Forgive me if I seem to close the door on
John.
You. Yeah, well, I hate to interrupt those nice people, but you know how it is. Hit it, Billy May.
This is the second show of the series of a brand new radio series.
The CBS Radio Network presents The Stan Freberg Show.
With the music of Billy May.
Plus the songs of Peggy Taylor with Dawes Butler, June Foray, Peter Leeds, and the Judd Conlon Rhythm Heirs.
No use to look for us on TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you on, brought to you on our radio.
Keeping with the policy of the Stan Freberg Show, which goes everywhere, sees everything, does everyone, Mr. Freberg has just completed a very dangerous assignment.
Freberg, I said to myself, for indeed that was my name. Freberg, why don't you get an interview with the abominable snowman?
You mean to say that dreadful creature of the high Himalayas?
The same.
And you actually got an interview with one of these ape-like monsters.
This tape will tell. The only previously recorded information on the abominable snowman comes from Dr. Hugo Spank of Cornell University, who went high in the Himalayas to do research on the subject. The only thing the good doctor had to say about the abominable snowman was... Now, we felt that this was not too informative... And CBS Radio felt it was below standard as far as broadcast quality was concerned. So I went up and got the interview myself. It went something like this. This is Stan Freberg speaking high in the Himalaya Mountains in northern India. I'm standing next to this particular creature, what is it you are there?
A little of each, Stan, actually.
A little of each,
that's right.
I see, then you are the abominable...
Snowman, that's right. I never cared for that word abominable too much, Stan. You mind if I called you Stan?
No, not at all.
Well, I never cared for abominable, but it's the nearest word translated from the original Hindustani, which was Abominuya Mayo, which means the hairy one with the big feet.
Yeah, I can see it lost something in the translation. I was noticing your...
Noticing my sneakers there, were you?
Quite large, yeah. What are they, about 12?
What, are you kidding? 12? They're size 23.
That's pretty big.
Well, it's functional design, you know. You ever try to walk on snow with ballet slippers? Roller skates?
Well, yeah, don't you have a little bit of trouble buying them? I mean...
Well, I just can't walk into any old store and buy them. No, I have them specially made up for me.
Well, where do you get them?
Well, when I don't have the chance to drop by Abercrombie and Fitch, I send up to Spalding. They make them up for me. I have them in four colors. The white, the red... the pink and the orange. I'm wearing the orange today.
Oh, that's very nice.
Well, that's the particular ensemble I picked out today.
Oh, it's not much of an ensemble, is it? I mean, it's just the shoes.
Well, it's an ensemble to me. Some of us aren't too well off as others.
Well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Oh, that's all right.
It's all right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Fine.
Just, what is it you do for a living? You terrorize the mountain?
That's right. I terrorize the mountain climbers who come up here. That is my trade, and I am proud of it.
Is it hard work? You have to do a lot of training?
Well, I don't think everybody can do it, you know. They don't have the hair for it, for one thing.
Or the sneakers. Say, you're quite tall, you know. What are you, about 8, 9 feet?
No, I measure in around 10 and a half, buddy.
10 and a half feet tall? Gee, that's pretty tall.
You think I'm tall, you should see my brother. He'd jump center for Abominable State.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed him. Have you had a pretty good day's work today?
No, it hasn't been too hard today so far, no.
You, what was that again? You done much terrorizing?
No, not too much today.
Well, I wonder if you could give us a demonstration before we sign off of whatever it is you do
to terrorize the mountain climber? Certainly.
Well, what would you like me to do?
Well, just turn your back there and close your eyes. Close your little eyes, and I sort of sneak up behind you and let fly with one.
Let fly with one what?
Never you mind. Just turn your back.
Well, I think I have a...
Never mind. Just turn your back, please.
No peeking.
All right. Don't you open those eyes now.
I won't.
All right. I'll just sneak up behind you now, tippy-toe. Which is hard with my feet. Here I come now. Stanley? Hey, that white hair is very becoming. Sets off your ruddy complexion. Very nice.
Gee, that was effective. Well, guys, I see our time is up.
Oh, that's a shame. Sure you don't have time for a quickie before you hit the pike?
No, I really don't.
Well, if you'll forgive me, I gotta get back to work. I see a mountain climber over there by the edge.
Well, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, Stan.
Nice to see a man happy in his work. Thank you. And now one of the dramatic scenes we know you've been waiting for. The lights on the stage go down, leaving but one spotlight on our announcer, Burnside Mantle.
Thank you. Great moments in history. But what was the story behind those moments? Time is 1862. The place, a small upstairs room in a little house in Frederick, Maryland. An army in gray is moving into town. Moving, moving like a flowing flannel river. We hear a man who...
All right, Barbara Fritchie. Here's the flag. Now stick the old gray head out the window.
You give me the money, then I'll stick the old gray head out the window.
So much for history. Outraged history lovers may write me care of CBS Radio, Hollywood, California.
Stan.
If you ladies and gentlemen could see her, you would know that that is the voice of Peggy Taylor.
Well, thank you, Stan. Say, that business about Barbara Fritchie, you don't believe it, do you?
Oh, well, we were just funning, you know.
You were just what?
Funning.
That's what I thought you said.
I do the best I can with the words I get, you know.
Well, I say this is a nice studio, you
know?
Yeah,
it is kind of a nice studio. And CBS Radio has sort of turned our studio into a home away from home, as it were.
Why, that's very nice now. But, you know, I've never seen a studio with rows of overstuffed chairs for the musicians like this.
Yes. Well, it's homey, you know.
Oh, it sure is. Rugs on the floor and pictures on the wall and a big dog lying in front of the fireplace.
That's Billy May.
Well, you know what fooled me was the stick in his mouth.
That's the way he conducts. Ladies and gentlemen, Peggy Taylor.
From a whippoorwill high up on a hill, they took a new nose, pushed it through a horn till it was worn into a blue nose. Looking for a different tune, one that they could croon as only they can. They only have the rhythm, so they started swaying to and fro. They didn't know just what to do, and that is how the blues really began. They heard the breeze in the trees singing weird melodies, and they made that as the start of the blues. Then from a jail came the wail of a downhearted frail, and they made that as a part of the blues. From a whippoorwill high up on a hill, they took a new note, pushed it through a horn till it was worn into a and then they nursed it, rehearsed it, and gave out the news that the Southland gave birth to the blues. The Southland.
Ladies and gentlemen, still in line with our policy, the Stan Freberg program is still going everywhere, seeing everything, doing everyone. Take it away, Fieldman Leroy Strattle at Mount Rushmore, South Dakota, the scene of the great presidential statues.
Fieldman Leroy Strattle here at Mount Rushmore, South Dakota. Will you knock off the bird calls, please, Mrs. Prill?
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Yes. I'm standing in the shade of George Washington's nose, along with Mrs. Hagmire Prill, who you just heard from, a sculptress of Duluth, who is about to carve a new statue. Is that correct?
I hope to kick a pig in the face. It's correct.
Well, nothing I like better than a good old colloquial expression.
Well, how'd you like a good old fat lip?
Yes. Well, Mrs. Prill, would you like to tell the folks why you're such an unusual sculptress?
Oh, yes.
Well,
I carve statues out of a good many things.
Such as?
Soap, paraffin, wax, lard, anything.
Soap, paraffin, wax, lard, eh?
They can hear me.
Well, yes. Well, how did it start? How did it all start?
Yes, well, I started carving little individual rosebuds out of soap for my dinner parties. Back in Grand Rapids, you know.
Yes, I see.
Well, everyone complimented me on them. Someone ate one, so I had to change my material. Oh, he did froth pretty good, though.
All of a lather, eh? Yes. Well, how did the idea for a big statue come about?
Well, a friend of mine, Gladys Baumberger, you know her.
No, I don't believe I do.
Oh, well, she lives down the block. She's a lovely girl.
I'm sure she is. We have to move right along.
Yes, I hate her, but she's a lovely girl. Well, anyway, she had this lawn tea, and I was asked to carve some little decoration. So one night it came to me in a veritable vision. Tiny miniature statues of Mary Margaret McBride carved out of oleomargarine. Oh, they certainly made a hit, if I do say so.
Well, I'll bet they made a hit.
I just said so. Well, how this big idea came about. Yes. I came to Mount Rushmore Memorial Committee, and here I am.
Think of that. Ladies and gentlemen, a 400-foot statue of Mary Margaret McBride carved entirely out of oleomargarine.
Gee, that's realistic.
Are you planning any more?
Well, I told you I was before we went on the air.
Oh, yes, of course. And they were a grouping of three?
Yes, Mary Margaret McBride, of course.
Of course.
Wyatt Earp and Fats Domino.
Great Americans all. Whoops-a-daisy, I see the sun's coming out, so it's back to Hollywood. Whoops-a-daisy is right, Leroy Straddle, and thank you, Mrs. Prill. Well, I like to think of Mrs. Prill, high on her scaffold there on Mount Rushmore, chipping and chopping away at the margarine of her 400-foot statue. Arrivederci, Mrs. Prill. But as must happen in all variety shows, the scene must change. And we go from the lofty mountain to a quiet living room. Billy, could you give us a little lofty mountain to quiet living room music, please? Oh, boy. Gee, honey, it's great to have an evening at home, huh? Nothing to do but read, take it easy.
Oh, I'll say. Boy. And we can use a nice, quiet evening.
Yeah. Lucky for us, your mother broke her leg.
Boy, I'll say. Well, and good thing, too, that Charlie Adams has the measles.
Yeah, no canasta tonight.
Oh, boy, this is for me.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Don't answer. Let it ring. Let it ring. Why don't they leave us alone?
Look, honey, no matter who it is, we're not going out.
No, we're not going out.
And don't invite them over.
No.
Tell them we're sick.
I'll just tell them we died. Hello?
Hello, Max's Delicatessen. This is Mrs. Snodgrass.
No.
Will you send us some...
No, ma'am, you have a wrong number.
Half a pound of salami, a half a pound of
tail
of ham...
I'm trying to tell you...
...a pound of store cheat
I said you have a wrong number.
Isn't this Max's Delicatessen?
No.
What number is this?
This is Trafalgar 40598.
Trafalgar 40598?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I want Trafalgar 45098.
Well, this is Trafalgar 40598.
Sure, this isn't Trafalgar 45098, Max's Delicatessen.
No, this is not Max's Delicatessen. I'm sorry.
That's funny. I rang Trafalgar 45098.
Well, you got a wrong number.
Well, who was it, honey?
Oh, some dame had a wrong number.
Glad it wasn't for us.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't go out tonight to see Davy Crockett raffle Marilyn Monroe.
Gee, I think my eardrum is busted. Oh, come on.
Well, now, whoever it is, tell him to get lost.
Hello?
Hello, Max's Delicatessen.
Oh, stop.
This is Mrs. Snodgrass. Will you send over a half a pound of salami?
Lady, I told you before, you got the wrong number.
What?
You got the wrong number.
What number is this?
This is Trafalgar 40598.
Trafalgar 40598?
Yeah.
You sure this isn't Trafalgar 45098?
Look, lady, would I lie to you?
Well, that's funny. I dialed Trafalgar 45098.
Well, you must have made a mistake somewhere.
I did not make a mistake. I dialed TR 45098.
Well, you didn't get TR 45098. You got TR 40598.
Yeah, but that's the wrong number.
That's what I've been telling you.
Look, I've been calling Max's Delicatessen for 3 years. Their number's always been Trafalgar 45098.
Look, lady, why don't you get the operator to get the number for you?
I don't need that. Operator, I know what the number is.
Okay, okay.
Gee.
An ear for an ear, I always say.
What was it?
Same thing, the wrong number again.
We had quite a long conversation.
Yeah, well, she cross-examined me.
Well, I'm just glad it wasn't for us,
You're
anyway.
Not kidding. Oh, no. Hello?
This is the special operator. Is this Trafalgar 40598?
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeedy. This is Trafalgar 40598.
Just a moment, please. I have a call for you. Is your party? Hello, Max. That was the
cat. Wait a minute. I told you before this is not Max's Delicatessen.
Is this Trafalgar 40598?
Yes.
Well, that's the number I want. Will you send over...
Wait a minute. You don't want Trafalgar 40598. You want Trafalgar 45098.
How do you know what number I want?
Because you told me so. You said you want Trafalgar 45098, you said.
No, I don't. I want Trafalgar 40598. I asked the
All right, she got it for you, but it ain't the right...
Is Mr. Fowler 4059?
Yes.
Well, is Max there?
No, Max isn't here.
So where is he?
How do I know where Max is? I don't even know who Max is!
Oh, well, you must be new there.
I'm not new here. I am not new here. I have been living here for 8 years.
Oh, honey, who is it? Who is it?
The crazy dame with the wrong number.
How dare you say that?
Shut up!
Oh, how dare you! Harry! Harry, some schnook at Max's Delicatessen
is a schnook. Oh, he is, Hendy. Give me that phone. I'll fix his wagon.
Now, dear... Temper, here, let me talk to
you. Now, listen here, you cheap salami slicer. What's the idea of insulting my wife? Why, you want to come right over there and shove your puss in the liverwort?
Oh! Darling, some man on the boat said he's going to shove my puss in liverwort.
Oh, he did he? Give me that phone. Listen here, you. What's the big idea insulting my wife?
What's the idea of insulting my wife?
If your stupid wife would dial the right number, I wouldn't have to insult her.
My stupid wife did dial the right
number. Give up! She dialed Trafalgar 40598.
What number is this?
Trafalgar 40598.
So it's the right number.
It is not the right number. She wants Max's Delicatessen.
Well, ain't this Max's Delicatessen?
No!
Why did you say so?
I didn't say so. I told your stupid wife.
Now, listen, you crumb. You insult my stupid wife once more? I'll come over there and punch you right in the nose.
Yeah? You and who else?
Me and my stupid wife.
Says you. My wife can lick your wife any day in a week.
Honey, what did he say? What did he say?
He said he punched me in the nose.
Oh, yeah?
That's what he said.
Will you just give me that phone?
Here.
I'd just like to see you punch my husband in the nose.
Oh, you think I couldn't do it, eh?
Well, you just try it. I'll come over there and I'll punch you and your stupid wife in the nose.
That's oh, yeah? Baby. Nobody's going to punch my stupid wife in the nose unless it's me.
What did he say?
Yeah, it wasn't him. It was that big dumb ox of a wife of his. She said she's going to punch you in the nose.
Oh, she did, did she? You give me that phone. Listen, you beat a
flag
bag. I'd like to
see you. Go on. Your mother listens to Crazy Otto.
Stop arguing with him. Hang up the phone.
I'm going to report you to the telephone company.
Shit. Oh, come
boy.
Some people.
Well, what's the use? I don't feel like reading.
Well, I certainly don't.
I don't feel like reading.
God, but this book... wasn't as good as I thought anyway.
Yeah. Well?
Well?
Tell you what, let's call up the Johnsons and see what they're doing.
Oh, okay. Sure. Maybe they feel like some canasta.
Yeah, maybe. We'll just call the Johnsons up here. Well, we'll do.
Hello, Max's Delicatessen.
Well, let's see. We looking backwards in the show here, we did the great moments in history. Barbara Frietchie, we did the Mount Rushmore out of oleomargarine. But just in case there's anyone we haven't offended, perhaps this will tear it.
I dream a genie with a light.
Hold it.
Brown hair.
Hold it, please. What are you doing? Okay, hold it, Vapor Girl. Look at that trouble to you like it did in them last guys on Shaboom. How can the kids dance to that jazz? If they can't bop to it, they won't buy the record. You know that. Don't you know that?
Yeah.
You know that. Now we're going to do rock and roll Stephen Foster, all right, but we're going to do a rock and roll. Big. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Jack, Queen, King. Rock, Genie.
Genie with... Genie with the... Genie with the light. Genie with the light brown. Genie with the light brown wig. Rock!
Pretty commercial, huh? I'll tell the world. Okay. Follow me now. Genie! That's the stuff. Genie with... Genie with the...
The head is bending, Nelly fly. The buckwheat
honk, honk the alto. Can you make that guitar sound tinnier, please? Never mind that Nick Lucas pick. Play it with this old howdy doody button. See a difference? Now you come on. Now make it go. Daddy Adler, Daddy Adler. Let's not overdo it, huh? Let's not wear out our welcome, huh? Dear old infantryman,
wake unto me.
Come on, you guys. Where are you getting your arrangements from? Abbey Wrench? You know what Confucius said? If they can't bop to it, bombs build. Want me to tear up your autograph pictures of Hunter Hancock?
No!
Well, then let's take Beautiful Dreamer again. Beautiful Dreamer!
Wake up, please!
Folks, hear your Stephen Foster favorites. Join in and sing right along with us, won't you?
I like a one-eyed cat peeping at old dog Tray. I like a one-eyed cat peeping at old dog Tray. Well, it ain't the way he wrote about. We sell more records this way.
Count upon the genie.
Album we did last week.
Thank you very much. Well, I see the time is up. We'll all be back next week with new padding on the walls here. Until next week. This is Stan Freeberg saying thank you for listening, God bless you, and good night.
The Stan Freeberg Show is produced in Hollywood by Pete Barnum and is written by Stan Freeberg, Pete Barnum, and Jack Roach. Original song by Stan Freeberg, featuring the music of Billy May, Judge Condon's of the Mayors, and the songs of Peggy Taylor. Dawes Butler, Peter Leeds, and June Foray. Also in the cast was Marvin Miller. Dan Coverly speaking. Stay tuned for Robert Trout in the news, to be followed on most of these same stations by The Mitch Miller Show.